Let's go back to the praises.
Joshua,
go ahead.
Okay. I was going to give a couple praises. All week we didn't have the kids. They're back home with mom and dad. We had a great week. Had a lot of personal time with me and the wife, much needed. And we yanked out a chimney and put up a wall and did a bunch of work to the house. Some work that we've never done before, replacing fascia and soffit, stuff like that. It all came out really nice. We're kind of honestly impressed with each other just a little bit. But we know it was God that gave us the tools and the ability to do it. So I want to send praise up for all that.
Sounds like the days when I was becoming a general contractor. Yeah, seriously, that's how it started, just like that. Mary?
Yeah, I just want to, like what Gilberto said, it's such a beautiful country here. And we don't know how the freedom that we have here, it's awesome. You think of other countries right now, they're cutting off Christians' head, slaughtering them, doing all kind of crazy stuff. And here we are in America, coming together and praise and worship God together. We don't have to be hiding under rocks and in houses, you know. It's something to praise God for every day.
It's still the best one there is.
Yeah, it is.
It really is.
It is. Really. It's awesome. I just think
it's I leave it when I go on vacation, but I come back. All right, cool. Other praises. Jerry.
Praise the Lord, I got them hoses straightened out there.
Yeah. Well, I didn't know we had that water break. That's why, obviously, somebody went over there and shut that off. Because we got that sprinkler broke out there.
Yeah.
Know any landscape guys that can get to fix our sprinkler? Yeah. Yeah. We got two pipe breaks.
Not two pipe breaks? I can fix them.
Dig them up.
I can fix
put
them.
New, put collar on it.
Yeah.
Glue back together.
There you go. That's what they do.
All right, cool. Anybody else?
Yeah.
Crazy. Vicki?
I had a good week. We finally got cases for the census. The job they hired me for back in February finally started. Started last week. Cool. And but that's going well. And I just praise the Lord for Bubba's health and another year here in our country while we still have the freedoms that we have.
Amen. Bubba, did your hand go up? Ross, did your hand go up?
Yes. I had my first offshore fishing trip.
Yeah.
And it was very successful. And very fun. And also, we had a good week. And I just want to praise the Lord for that because sometimes we try to kill each other.
Yeah.
Jesus tries to kill me. Like, let's just be honest.
Well, you didn't get sick offshore. So
I praise the Lord for that, too.
That was pretty amazing. Most people's first time don't really. The percentages of ones that work out like you did are not high.
Next time I'll probably get sick.
And he caught the biggest fish, right?
No, you're not going to get sick. Yeah. You're done.
That's it.
You don't have to think anything to worry about.
He caught the biggest fish and the first fish, too.
He caught the first fish and the biggest fish.
Well, I had to tell him I didn't. Yeah.
And it just about whipped him.
It did. I got a video of it, and it
just about whipped him.
My shoulder hurt still.
He was, the pole never got above right there. He was trying to get it, but...
It was rough.
I wanted him to post the video, but his little belly's hanging out the whole time. Because he was chuckling so much.
I thought I was a pretty big guy until I hooked into that snapper. And he made me feel real small.
Yeah, a big bottom snapper, a big fish hooked on 100-foot of water will...
It's a long way up.
Will change your attitude about how tough and strong you are.
Absolutely.
He will. But it will wear you to a frazzle in a heartbeat. But anyway, that's cool. That's why we do it. It's awesome. Anybody else? All right, back to Proverbs 23. Now, we just passed Father's Day about a couple weeks ago, I guess it was. And Proverbs 23 has an entire giant application here of a father's attitude and actions toward his children. It's primarily sons, but it's the same. I mean, it goes both ways. It's generic in that sense. We worked our way down to verse 17 through 19. This is where you find in the Bible It tells you not to withhold correction from your children. For if you beat them with a rod, they won't die.
That's what it says.
Amen.
And I realize the political correctness in our country today would just throw people into a panic with that. But and it doesn't infer that you should just beat your kids all the time. I mean, that's kind of a last resort, and it's one of those things. Having been in on raising six of them myself, it's one of those things that if you do it right, you won't have to do it often.
Often, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And you got to establish your word. No means no. And let me ask you this. Have you ever caught yourself saying, if I have to tell you one more time? Let me tell you something. If you're having to tell them one more time, you've already blown it.
Yeah. Reminds me of...
I mean, what are you going to do? All right, you're out in the front yard. You're playing out in front. It's hot. He's out playing in the sprinklers. Throwing the ball back and forth. The ball rolls out in the street. If I have to tell you one more time not to run in front of that car, what are you going to do with that? No needs to mean no.
Yeah.
And it's not going to happen unless you make it happen. You've got to have no. It means no. And how many times have you been at a Walmart or a grocery store and mom says, if I tell you, I have to tell you one more time. I just shake my head, go to the other aisle, I can't take it.
My son pointed that out to me with the grandbabies, because I'll tell them that. He says, you never told us more than once. You told us once, the second time, we were in it.
Well, it's like, very dangerous for them not to mind when they're told.
Yeah.
Very dangerous for a kid. In all kinds of ways.
When my kids were small, and we go to the checkout counter, they were always begging for candy or gum, you know, that's always there at the checkout counter.
Yeah.
That's why.
And so one day I was going to the grocery store, and I rolled up a belt and put it in my purse. Got to the checkout counter, and they started begging. I just opened my purse up so they could see what was in there. There was a 180 turn. You have never seen two little girls change their attitude so quick. Didn't have to use the belt then. And the next time we went to the store, I didn't have a problem.
Yeah, there you go. All right, well, I want to kind of get into this and read this, because this is a father's advice, a father's instruction, that's graduating from one area to another, to another, to another. We read in chapter 22, verse 6, to train up a child in the way he should go. And we talked about how training and teaching, not just the same thing. They kind of are, but training is proactive teaching. It's on the job, this is how you do it, and you're going to do it, that thing. This one, it starts out here, and in verse number 13, withhold not correction from the child. For if thou beatest him with the rod, he shall not die. Thou shalt beat him with the rod, and shall deliver his soul from hell. My son, if thine heart be wise, my heart shall rejoice, even mine. Now, it thinks, well, okay, you talked about correcting your kids. Now he's off to another subject. No, he's not. This dad here is talking to his son, and he's telling him how it is. This would be a great Father's Day text, and of course we're not that far from it. My son, if thine heart be wise, my heart shall rejoice, even mine. Dad, how's it going to feel if your children are wise and they listen to what they're told, good advice, good counsel, and they grow up and they hold a job, and they provide for their families, and they are successful, stay out of jail, among other things. How do you feel about that?
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. I mean, what more could a dad want than to see his children go down, what path was it? train up a child in the way he should go. That path is what we're talking about. Well, this is what he's talking about here. Yea, my reins shall rejoice. My heart, my innermost reins is a hard word to describe, by the way. Mm-hmm. My reins shall rejoice when thy lips speak right things. What's it do to your heart whenever you hear your kids say the right thing? Oh, I mean, tell you, it's you talk about lifting you up. And then he still talking. And of course, this is wisdom taking on the role of a dad to talking to his son. Let not thine heart envy sinners. Well, here's some things you need to teach your children. Let not your heart envy sinners, but be thou in fear of the Lord all the day long. But Mom, all the kids are wearing that. But Mom, all the guys are doing this. But Dad, everybody's. Let not thine heart envy sinners. Don't get to looking at them and wanting to do what they do and have what they have and be what they are. Don't. This is, who's going to teach your kids that if you don't? But be thou in fear of the Lord. Son, you need to realize that God's going to hold you accountable for what you do. And you know that what they're doing is not right in the eyes of the Lord. Now, getting that through their thick skull, well, good luck with that. But it won't go through it if you don't tell them. For surely there is an end, and thine expectations shall not be cut off. There, what's he mean? For surely there is an end.
Yeah, about the end of our lives?
Well, there's that, yeah.
May your children will grow up?
Based on the context of Scripture, don't envy sinners, and there is an end. In other words,
their life is not sustainable.
We want to think of the whole life and everything, but
the party's going to end.
Yeah, well, what he's really getting to right here in this one, there's an end result for what they're doing.
Consequences
for those actions.
Yeah.
There is an end result, and thine expectation shall not be cut off. And what you can expect to see happen for the consequences of things is not going to go away. It's going to be there. It's a lot of language to get a thought across here, but it's here. And then, hear thou, my son, and be wise, and guide thine heart in the way. What way?
Right way.
Right way. That's we've been hearing that over and over and over all the way through Proverbs. Guide thine heart in the right way. And now he's going to start talking about the things that dads need to teach their sons, things that moms need to teach their daughters and their sons, and dads and their daughters. Don't run with the wrong crowd. That's the very next word here. Be not among winebibbers, among riotous eaters of flesh. When the adolescence comes, then it will begin to flop over into the teens. Where do the lusts take them? Where does their heart take them? They want to go party with the rest of the kids. Mm-hmm. That's what they want to do. God says, tell your children, don't be among winebibbers. What are we talking about?
Bad crowd.
We're talking about the bad crowd, but we're very specific here. He's telling
them. Winebibbers drunk.
Hey, you're not old enough to drink.
Yeah.
And you're not going to go hang out with the kids at the kegger party. I don't know what you called it in your day, but you know, whatever it was. He said, why, Dad? Why can't I do what they're doing? He says, well, for the drunkard and the glutton shall come to poverty.
Yeah.
And drowsiness shall clothe the man with rags. Now what's he talking about? He's talking about teach them not to drink. He's talking about, well, let me just say it the way you'd say it. Teach them to get their butt out of bed. That's for drowsiness shall clothe them. And how many times have we read how the sluggard wants to sleep in? And what's going to happen because they don't get up and go do the things that need to be done.
Yeah, but Pastor, there's a lion in the street.
Yeah, there's a lion out there. He might eat me.
What did you say? That sluggard turneth on his bed like the door.
Like a door on a hinge. Just turn over and go back to sleep. You know, we say, well, I'd really like to do that. No, you wouldn't. Oh, you might enjoy it once, but then when you realize what you didn't get done, you know. Well, what happens when you don't get up and go to work?
You don't get paid.
You don't get paid. Drowsiness shall clothe the man with rags.
Get looked over when it comes time for promotion.
And now this dad now is still talking to his son here all the way through this whole thing. All the things, all the scriptures that you read in Proverbs about the strange women, prostitutes, getting drunk. It's all right here in this context. It's all in the context of dads teaching their children, do not go down this path. And this is, and he's still at it. He's now he says, hearken unto thy father that begat thee. Listen to your dad, son. Now, I need to stop right here and point out that many of us didn't have a dad to tell us these things. Many of us didn't have a dad, not only to tell us these things, but were showing us the opposite. What do you do in such a case?
You have to pray for them that they go down the right path. I know I lived through it.
Well, you pray for them, but
you got to teach them yourself. I mean, I didn't.
Here's the thing. You've got, and I've seen this in my own family, especially with one of my grandchildren. I've seen this blaming the parents on his upbringing and how unsuccessful he is. And you already lost half the lesson. Now I turn the mic on.
More than.
Oh, well. Blaming the parents for the condition, the habits, the work ethic, the lack of integrity, all of those things. And yeah, there is some blame there. Yeah. But let me tell you something, there comes a time that you're going to have to stand on your own feet regardless of what your parent did or did not teach you. And that's going to happen to your own children too. And it's going to be really hard on them. God tells us how to do it and how to help them. But most of our parents, in many cases anyway, I won't say most, I don't know what your situation exactly was, but many of our parents had no idea what the Bible said about this stuff and didn't want to know, didn't want to learn. Now, those of you who had parents who did and who taught you, you're reaping the benefits of those your entire life. I mean, you are blessed beyond what you can even imagine. And those that did not, well, you're just going to have to suck it up and make up for it yourself. You're going to have to get in the Word. Now that the Lord has come and rescued you, you're going to have to learn all those things now that you should have learned back then. But God's here to teach you. Josh, go ahead.
I was going to say that, you know, just for anyone that has kids that you don't think they're listening, it's pretty important to tell them all this stuff. My parents, I had great parents. They taught me all this stuff. I didn't listen to a word they had to say. I didn't want to hear none of it. But I can testify that when you get older and you change and you're saved, it all comes back.
It does, and it wouldn't come out if it wasn't in there.
Yeah. That's right. It's got to be in there.
So that's kind of like reading your Bible every year. Well, I don't understand all this. You're not supposed to. It's data input. It's putting it in there so that it can be drawn out when it's needed. Gilbert, go ahead.
I believe God has a plan, and for all of us, actually for everyone, but somehow for us who listen and sort of fold to listen and accept Christ as the Lord.
Amen. Amen. And there are no perfect parents. You didn't have any, and you certainly aren't one.
Amen.
It's a struggle and a series of blunders at the very best that's going to be. But you try. And as the Lord teaches you, you then have something to work with. So he says, what's wrong with having a few beers? Well, first of all, you're too young, son. And secondly, it probably won't just be a few beers, because not everybody is tolerant to alcohol. You know, there are other cultures in the world, like the Italians and the Jews and Israel, that they've been drinking wine as a proper thing since it's probably in their baby bottle. I mean, it's seriously. Well, in Israel, water mixed with wine was common to purify the water. I mean, it's normal. It was totally normal to do that. Other cultures, especially Gentile cultures, especially us in this country, with all this melting pot of mixture, we don't have that. We have people in our church right here that could drink one beer and turn into a raging alcoholic in a month, because they can't stop, because it triggers something in them. There's others that no effect whatsoever. Why is it a problem for us to drink this 4th of July picnic? Why don't we have a cooler beer out there? Some of you would really like that. And for you, maybe some of you, it might not even be a problem. Why can't I drink? I'm one of those guys that it has no effect on me at all.
Because of the example that you set.
Well, I can't be a stumbling block for my other brother who can't do it. Because he's going to, and what it does to him, you don't even want to hear about, because it's going to be bad. This is why. I am not an abstainer because of the fact that drinking alcohol is a sin. It's not. The Bible doesn't say that. Drunkenness is a sin. And being a stumbling block to your brother is a huge sin. So these are the reasons. And we'll see this as we go through this chapter. As a matter of fact, if we get to it today, well, let's just read on. We might get to it. Let's see how far we get on this. He says to his son, hearken unto thy father. Listen to me, son. I'm your dad. And quit bad-mouthing your mother and talking back to her. As despise not thy mother when she is old. That's what that means. Don't talk back to your mom. Buy the truth and sell it not. Boy, can you just hear dad laying this out to his boy? Buy the truth and sell it not. Also wisdom and instruction and understanding. Well, I don't want to go to school. You're going to school, and you need it. And you need to apply yourself to knowledge and learn this stuff. And then you need to apply what God has to say along with it, so that you'll be the kind of a man that can take care of his family and have a life to look forward to and enjoy every single day. There is no greater joy that I can imagine than seeing my children prosper. John the Apostle was telling one of the churches that he was very closely involved with, and he said, I have no greater joy than to see that my children walk in truth. And he wasn't talking about his blood kids. He was talking about those that he had brought in Christ. Some of you, I know the pastors as they age are looked upon as a father figure, and it's a right way to do it. Some of you have dads that they're your dad because they had sex with your mother. I brought you to Christ. So I consider you my children just as much or more than blood dads get to do that. Maybe that's why we were talking about earlier that I'd also get to be held accountable for you. Which, you know, don't get in line behind me is all I'm telling you when we're at the judgment seat. And see how that goes. But the Father is now in verse 24, the Father of the righteous shall greatly rejoice. Well, you know, I've had some rough journeys with some of my kids. And I'm getting to see, you know, the train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. I'm getting to see that part begin to come to fruition. And let me tell you something, there is no greater joy than to see your children begin to succeed. I'm not just talking about making money. I'm talking about to have a real life walking with the Lord. And he that begetteth a wise child shall have joy of him. Thy father and thy mother shall be glad, and she that bare thee shall rejoice. My son, give me thine heart, and let thine eyes observe my ways. Now, there's that example thing popping up now. You've got to be able to say to your children, do it like you see me do it. Just like the Apostle Paul in the New Testament says, you know, watch me, do it this way. We got to be able to do that. And I know you're not going to do a perfect job of it. You won't. You can't. You're a sinner. You're corrupted. Well, we all are. But we've got to be able to say, without having to say it, by the way, this is the way you do it. We've got to live before them in such a way that says, this is how you do it. And then he starts talking about Jerry's favorite subject, strange women. Yeah, well, I don't know if that's the right way I should have put it, but
the reason he says that is because the first time I read Proverbs, all I got out of it was beware of strange women.
Yeah, that's yeah.
There is.
Yeah, there are the things. There are, but strange women. Okay. But okay, but it does come up quite a bit. Yeah. And then he says, and listen, and this is a dad talking to his son, and his son must be getting a little bit older. He must be starting to kind of get up here a ways, because he says, son, for a whore is a deep ditch, and a strange woman a narrow pit. She also lieth in wait as for prey, and increaseth the transgressors among men. You got two verses here telling him to stay away from ungodly women. It's straight up. I mean, you don't get any plainer than that. I mean, it's not like he's beating around the bush, is it? He's telling them. And I would imagine the same dad is telling his daughter not to be one. Amen? I mean, you know. And then verse 29 all the way down to verse 25 is about alcohol. It's about drinking. And we're probably going to spend some more time on that next week. But we want to read the whole thing. And it says, who hath woe? Who hath sorrow? Who hath contentions? Who hath babbling? Who hath wounds without cause? Who hath redness of eyes? They that tarry long at the wine, they that go to seek mixed wine. Look not thou upon the wine when it is red, when it giveth his color in the cup, when it moveth itself aright. At the last it biteth like a serpent, and stingeth like an adder. Thine eyes shall behold strange women, and thine heart shall utter perverse things. Yea, thou shalt be as he that lieth down in the midst of the sea, or as he that lieth upon the top of a mast. You ever heard the expression, drunk as a sailor? Well, this is where it comes from. It's obviously the sailors were pretty well known for overindulging. They have stricken me, thou shalt say, and I was not sick.
They have beaten me, and I felt it not. When I awake, I will seek it yet again. It's more than one man who's ever said, well, I'm never doing this again. And then what happened? Turned right around and right back to it.
And at 5 o'clock, work comes.
Oh, man, yeah. Now let me teach you something that you're not going to hear anyplace else. All right? What this really says. The standard doctrine is this. Look not thou upon the wine when it is red. Not only should you not drink it, you shouldn't even look at it. I guarantee you Cecil's heard that preached. Many of you have heard that preached. Somehow preachers think that if we put things so off limits, then people just won't go there. Well, that's pretty naive, actually. I believe in being honest with what the Bible says, saying no more than it says and no less than it says, what this means. And Paul, in the New Testament, used a little wine for thy stomach's sake and for many ailments, that sort of thing. It means that when you are drinking wine, whether it be at your home, it should not be with others that you're going to be a stumbling block to if you're going to do this. And you're probably better off not doing it at all, but if you do, God doesn't say not to. He says there are times that it's fitting. Look not thou upon the wine when it is red. Well, okay, don't drink red wine. You can drink the white wine. Well, what about beer? Well, then there's bourbon, you know. And you just get what it's teaching us here and forget about the other ridiculous stuff. When it giveth his color in the cup, when it moveth itself aright, leave it alone. All right, when you look in the cup, and it's changing color. And you're looking in the cup and it's moving. You've had too much. Don't drink until you can feel it. If you're starting to feel it, you remember what happened when you came back from offshore? When you went to bed, what was the bed doing?
I didn't have that effect, honestly.
It didn't? No. Oh, man, everybody. I asked Joey this morning. I said, when you went to bed, I said, was your bed moving? He said, yeah.
Well, when I got off the boat, I felt like the dock was moving and it wasn't.
Yeah, well, that's it. This is what this is talking about. This is not, don't ever look at it. Don't touch it. Don't, you know, this is. And you may well be one of those people that just simply can't drink. And if that's the case, I recommend Coke Zero, you know, or tea, or anything else that doesn't have any alcohol in it. You just have to leave it alone. And there's a whole bunch of your brothers and sisters in this church that absolutely have to leave it alone. But I really like the taste of beer. Well, get you some O'Doul's or something and take it home and have you a non-alcoholic beer by yourself.
You won't like the taste of very long.
My ex quit sending me to buy him.
It's not something, it's just not a necessity. If you're off by yourself and you don't have an alcohol issue in your life and you want to have a whatever, the Bible says very clearly how to handle that. It says, blessed is the man that condemneth not himself in that which he alloweth. And he says, if thou hast faith, and he's talking in to the Corinthians about, do you have faith that what you're doing is okay and it's not a problem? What's it say? It says, have it to thyself before God. It's something you do by yourselves. I may come back from vacation. You know, I do get to take one once in a while. One of you may say, Pastor, when you were on vacation, did you do any drinking? Did you have a drink? And Bubba's heard my answer. My answer is very clear. It ain't none of your business. And that's the end of it. Fair enough. This is what the Bible says. And it, nowhere in it does it give you license to do anything with alcohol that's going to hurt anybody, including yourself.